and the whole gang of misfits.
Like,
you guys
we're
talking
family.
About Supernatural?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could tell because it sounded dumb, so I knew it was that bad. I'm just kidding.
Some episodes are so good, Dave, and then others are just, like, so subpar, it's ridiculous.
I bet.
It's like, wow, I can't believe I just wasted my time watching that episode. But other ones are just so fucking funny or just really, really good. Like, really good writing and just a delight all around.
The CW is good at that. Like, the CW is like the golf of like television shows. Like, you know, you're golfing and you're like in shitty shots and you're like, fuck this game.
One amazing shot that makes you still keep golfing.
Yeah, and then you hit one like straight as an arrow on the green, like, I'm the fucking best.
God damn it! I get it!
This crap. It's terrible.
I was titillated.
And now you wanna go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you wanna keep going?
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here running the show today, and right now I'm with Amanda and Justin. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Fabulous!
Now, Justin, I have a small bone to pick with you.
What?
Now, I'm a big fan of the Pixelated Podcast with you and Mr. Stephen K. Janes, and whenever we speak on the phone, you let me know that you love me and how great I am. I was listening to your podcast today, and Steven said you gave you a compliment, and you told Steven you loved him. So, are you just a whore who loves everyone, or were you just trying to make him feel good, and you secretly just love me?
The latter. I'm secretly in love with you, but I was telling him that I love him because he put me on the spot.
Now, I don't want to hear next Friday on the Pixelated Podcast this exact same speech, but in reverse with you and Stephen K. James.
You won't.
I'm just saying.
He doesn't listen to our show, so you got nothing to worry about.
What?
I guess I don't have anything to worry about.
I will be offended if Mr. James doesn't listen to this show. So
I don't think he does.
I expect a tweet from him to our show letting us know that he listens to our podcast. He can tweet at Geek Legacy. About
in fact,
this conversation.
He doesn't even read the website. He'll send me links for notes for the show, and he'll be linking to other sites, even though we have coverage.
Oh, Steven.
He's terrible. In fact, I told him, I was like, dude, why are you sending me links to other sites? Go to Geek Legacy, chump.
So everyone who listens to this show, I want you to tweet at Stephen K. Janes and let him know what a great show he's missing. And that he needs to listen to this show before. I want him to listen to the show while he's brushing his teeth, he's making his breakfast, he's working. This should be on just repeat on his iPhone. I guess we can get the show on, starting with love. Amanda, you have some heartfelt, lovey, beautiful news, don't you?
I do.
Joffrey?
Oh,
I'm like, something happened.
Oh,
that made the internet happy.
Our favorite character that we love to hate finally died this week.
Yay!
No! Ding dong, the shit is dead. It was a pretty awesome death scene. He really gave it his all as he was dying. And it was very grotesque and disgusting. But, yay, he's dead. Never have to listen to him. Be a little shit ever again.
I think it's a little ridiculous that anybody with just an ounce of intelligence would realize that Tyrion didn't poison him. I mean, they never lost sight of Tyrion. It's not like he's a magician with, like, sleight-of-hand abilities. Yeah, he may have given him a cup, but, I mean, when would he have had time to poison it?
Right.
You know I mean? It's like,
true, but, I mean, really, like, in the heat of the moment, Cersei would be looking for someone to blame, and of course she'd blame Tyrion because she hates him.
No, I get her reasoning behind it, but I mean,
but the rest of it.
Yeah, but any normal human being that's not blinded by hatred would realize that Tyrion didn't do it.
Yeah.
The rest of Westeros would be right. Like, I don't get it. What's going on here?
Like, well, Tywin's a smart guy. He wouldn't. I can't imagine that.
I don't think Tywin would
believe it,
but I would also think that Tywin would be eager to get rid of Tyrion, because he hates Tyrion, too.
Yeah, I know. It's just stupid. Or like the Queen of Thorns. You know, she knows that Tyrion's not like that.
Right, she'll be like, I don't think that happens.
But whatever. What can you do? Who cares? He's dead.
How big a dick was Joffrey? And like the whole episode was just him being mean for like an hour.
As if we needed like an excuse to want to see him dead.
I know. It even shows like the dead birds just to remind you one last time.
Right.
Fucker.
Yeah.
It should have been like previously on Game of Thrones and just shown everybody that he's ever had any death or been a part of any death in the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been funny.
Choking, he sees them.
Yeah. Remember when he had all the bastards, all of his dad's bastards killed?
Yeah.
Babies and stuff? That's nuts.
Well, was that really Joffrey or was that more Cersei's doing?
I don't know. I thought it was...
Let's just blame him.
Yeah, let's just blame him.
I mean, we can blame him, but I kind of feel like he's too dumb to even think about that.
Yeah, that could be true.
He's a bit of a dick.
He is a dick. I'm sure he would have had his half-siblings murdered without a second thought, but I also don't think that he was smart enough to even think about that.
And then also just like showing Sansa, you know, her dad's head.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty brutal. And having her beat in front of him, that's just wrong.
Yeah, he's
a very, very bad boy.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will feel bad for him. There's no one out there going like, oh, poor Joffrey, he got a raw deal.
Yeah, it's too bad. The rest of the episode, though, I kind of forgot about Stannis for a while.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, these people.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He's got an important part to play in the season.
Yeah, he does, eventually. But and then his little, you know, fire priest lady.
Melisandre.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I like her.
Lighting the people on fire, that's brutal. The Lord of Light stuff.
And same thing with stuff like that. Like, I understand the thought of cults and stuff like that, but who in their right mind is gonna be like, yeah, I gotta get on board with that religion. They set people on fire.
Right.
Where do I sign up?
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, the people that are being lit on fire don't want to be lit on fire. They're saying, no, stop this crazy shit, you know what I mean? And everyone else is just going along with it. Yeah, burn them! This is the way to do it!
Or maybe everyone's just pretending to be into it because they don't get burned. Like, oh yeah, fuck these guys, burn them all!
Yeah, that's funny.
We're Lord of Light people today, honey.
Yep, exactly.
No burning us.
And then Bran, doesn't he look just like that Mara Reed chick?
Yeah.
I was like twins on the screen. It was nuts. They got the same haircut and everything.
He should have been cast as Jojen Reed because.
I didn't like it.
They look like, more like siblings.
Yeah, that kid's grown up quick.
Yeah, he is. Hodor's got his work cut out for him. He's got to spin that little.
Right. He's got to carry him around everywhere.
Yep.
I liked. Just a lot of the little moments in the during the wedding, like when Tyrion was walking through the reception area or whatever, and Oberyn's like walking behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that Oberyn said like hi to him, but he wasn't talking to him. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh. I've been there, Tyrion. I've been there.
I like that Bronn was training Jaime instead of in the book when it's ill and pain.
Yeah.
Right.
It was kind of cool. I guess that's their way of keeping Bronn in the story longer than he normally would be.
Yeah, he kind of disappears in the book.
Yeah.
Leading up to the trial by combat, he just kind of goes away. But I like that, too. And they kind of address the issue, you know, because, like, Ilan Payne can't talk, so that's why he's able to kind of train with him, because he wouldn't be able to tell anybody.
Right. Bronn's like, I ain't telling nobody.
Yeah, he just has deep pockets.
Yeah. I'm getting paid!
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good episode. No Daenerys, so that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Jon Snow, either.
Yeah, that's never good. Yeah, get that story.
Well, he'll have, like, a whole episode probably all to himself.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the Blackwater kind of episode.
Mm.
But the wall instead.
Yeah. Times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Say what?
Good stuff.
No, she didn't.
I'm kind of excited that they got it over with in the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was ready for that.
No, yeah, that's what I was last week. I'm like, you think we have the wedding this week? I'm like, yeah, I'm messing around.
I was thinking, like, you know, before the season started, we had talked about maybe like episode like 4 or 5. But, you know, if we were lucky, we thought 4 or 5, but it would probably be like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
But, nope. 2. We're done with that. Yeah. I'm glad you did.
Gives me hope for the wall.
Yeah. Interesting. And what'd you guys think about the beginning with Ramsay and that crazy chick shooting at that girl? What was that all about? That was nuts.
Remind us that he's a horrible, insane person.
Yeah.
And Reek give him a shave.
Yeah, Reek. Reek the Freak.
Yeah. Reek, it rhymes with Meek.
Yeah, stupid.
Nobody likes the Greyjoys.
Mm-mm. Not even the Greyjoys.
Mm-mm. Because Balin's dead, right?
Not yet.
No.
Oh.
He dies.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
He like dies in between book 3 and 4.
Yeah, like it's right. Not even
like off screen, right? It's like, oh, a wave killed him.
Yeah. Right. He fell off a bridge.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, it's guys.
Like,
I don't think I spoiled anything pink for you.
No, it was a total non-event. And it's just I really think George R. R. Martin just killed him in order to create more chaos amongst the Greyjoys. So that he can introduce other Greyjoys.
Right. So I killed all the other 5 kings, but I forgot this guy. This guy's still alive? I haven't killed him? I'm pretty good at killing people.
That's just it. There's all these kings are dead except Stannis, but he's still not king. It's kind of funny. Like, how much do you suck that every king is dead except for you and you're still not the king?
Everyone hates you so much. Everyone hates you so much that they'd rather have Joffrey as their king.
Yeah, what a loser.
You're that boring.
He's too busy grinding his teeth and spitting.
Like, touching on Melisandre.
That's all he does in his books. In his chapters. It's like grinding his teeth.
I never noticed that.
Or asking Davos about his fingers that he cut off.
Yeah. Hey, remember that time I cut off your finger?
I swear, it's worse than like the Harry Potter where he's like, oh, Scar from Voldemort, blah, blah, blah. Like every time like they're in a scene together, like he has to make some reference. And then after he loses the bones of the Blackwater and he's like, do you miss your bones? I get it. You cut my fingers. Dick.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Can we talk about something else now?
Yeah. Oh. Your wife's ugly.
Yes. And the daughter's got problems too.
She's got grayscale.
Yeah, that's not
good. That's not her fault.
It's not.
Well, I don't blame the daughter.
Her mom was smoking while she was pregnant.
She didn't give up the heroin. Courtney loved her pregnancy.
So, what would you grade the episode?
I'd give it an A+, just because Joffrey died.
There you go.
You know, last frame.
That's pretty bold, because it's got Bran and Greyjoy.
Yeah, but they were only in it for like 5 minutes.
It's got all the worst characters in that episode.
Yeah, but they got pretty short screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the episode is Joffrey being a dick.
Yeah, I could have done without the whole Melisandre lecturing Stannis' daughter, but whatever.
Oh, I didn't even watch that part. I like walked away and I went to the bathroom. Just yeah, out of scream. I didn't even hear a word that she said to her.
Seemed totally pointless. I don't really know why.
I had no interest.
I don't know why they wrote that part in. I guess just to reiterate what Melisandre believes in.
The Lord of Light?
Yeah.
The one true God or whatever she says.
Right. Yeah.
To remind us that Stannis doesn't have a son. That must be a big thing, because every time they talk about Stannis in the previously on Game of Thrones, they bring up that.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe W.B. Weiss and his buddy, they know something that we don't know yet.
Oh. I never see the previously ons, because I watch it on Go.
Oh, really? It doesn't give you the previously on?
No, it doesn't.
Huh. Just starts right up with the da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yep.
Yeah.
It shows an ad for whatever other show they want to have an ad for, and then it goes straight into the theme song.
Yeah, like Trim or some bullshit.
Right, that shit. Sign me up, Captain.
Because we like jazz music. Skip it, Bob. Wrong note. Skip it up. Stupid.
Maybe an awkward tap dance.
I hate jazz music so much.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't either. Makes no sense.
Play your instruments, man. It always sounds like a third grade like music recital.
Right! And it's terrible.
There's like so much start and stopping. And then like everyone, and then everyone has to have a solo in every song. Every song's got like 9 solos because there's like 9 different instruments.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. It's just a cluttered mess. It's noise. All the noise. Hate it. Skip it, bop.
Gotta have like. Sorry.
It's all right. You don't have to apologize to me. I think it's stupid.
I apologize to all the jazz listeners, because you're dumb.
Yeah. Hate the music, hate the fans even more.
Unless you watch Trem.
Yeah.
The Treme or Treme.
Treme.
I never watched it. I knew from the title this show wasn't for me.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, jazz. Sorry. Can't do it. There was this movie with Ralph Macchio once where he was traveling with some jazz guy.
Well, that sounds amazing because it's got Ralph Macchio in it. It has
the same title as that movie with Britney Spears where her and her friends are traveling on the
Crossroads?
Yeah, the same title as that. And I thought that's what it was. And then I saw Ralph Macchio and I was like, wait a minute. And then I sat down. Once I realized it wasn't it, but you know, HBO.
You're like, I'm out. There's no Britney Spears in this.
Well, because what happened was the description was the Britney Spears movie. But the movie was the Ralph Macchio movie.
That's hilarious.
And so I was like just thrown for a loop for a second because it's
right. So like Ralph Macchio in this movie.
I was like, A, this movie looks like it's 30 years old. B, it's Ralph Macchio is like a kid. So it's obviously the wrong movie. I checked it like 3 times and I was like, what the shit, dude? I just don't get it. I thought maybe this discussion was just wrong and that it was going to start any second, like this movie was going to end. But nope, not the case. And then I saw it was some jazz movie, and I just got even more mad.
They do that with The Patriot, too, because there's the Mel Gibson version, and then there's the Steven Seagal version.
Oh, there you go.
Well, they get mixed up.
Every so often that's mixed up, and I'm all like, I don't see that dumb Steven Seagal movie in Alaska.
Right. One's Patriot, and one's The Patriot.
The Patriot.
How dare you make me watch Steven Seagal?
Yeah. Avert thy eyes.
Lawman.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
The best.
Cool. What else you got, Amanda?
We've all probably heard this news already, but Stephen Colbert is going to take over for David Letterman on The Tonight Show. Personally, I think that's kind of weird. It's just because I don't like change. and I'm so accustomed to Stephen Colbert, you know, being like, are presenting himself in his character of super right-wing nut Stephen Colbert. I can't imagine him being himself
on right, a like a talk show host. Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, but the world needs the Colbert Report. But then I guess does that mean the Colbert? Well, I guess he could still do the Colbert Report and the Tonight or Late Night.
He's gonna write and executive produce it. Yeah. So I think he's just done.
Seems like too much work. So, but I'm just sad that, you know, the Colbert Report will come to an end. But I imagine he'll bring a lot of those elements over. But at the same time, I don't know if America's ready for that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because people get their news from shows like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that monologue is an opportunity for them to kind of catch up on what's happening in the world. And if he does his little right-wing spiel, it could come off as kind of weird. I mean, I'm okay with it because you just have to accept that it's not really him.
I don't think he would do that, but So the thing with the kind of satire that the Colbert Report uses is that, you know, there are a lot of dumb people who don't get that it's satire.
Right.
So I feel like if he brought that kind of level of satire to like late night on CBS, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't get that it was satire. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to just kind of, I mean, there is a model when it comes to like late night shows, and it's a lot different than like his cable news show. Mm-hmm. And I just have to imagine that he's going to have to change. And that's kind of what happened to Craig Kilborn, you know, because he was doing, you know, The Daily Show, and he kind of had a real big character, you know, before Jon Stewart took over. And then when he came to CBS, he tried to do what he did on The Daily Show, but on late night television, and it just wasn't working. And then finally, once he figured out, he decided he wanted to quit. But it took him a long time to adjust. And I don't know if with the climate being how it is, how Jimmy Fallon's just killing it right now, I don't know how patient they're going to be with Steve Colbert if he doesn't, you know, start delivering right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. He's a funny guy, man. One time he had John Mellencamp on the show, and when he introduced him, he was like, "Now, you were born in a small town. You live in a small town. You probably died in a small town." And I just couldn't stop laughing. I missed like the first couple like seconds of the interview because I just thought that was hilarious.
No, I think he's a comedic genius. I'm just like, I don't really feel like CBS is the best place for him, but I mean, was he going to turn down that job? I guess not.
Right, to replace David Letterman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. This Daily Show and Colbert Report, like, I don't watch really regularly, but whenever I watch it, I just laugh. I'm like, I should watch this more often.
What else in TV news? Oh, we were going to talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Are you watching that still?
I was not watching it, but then I just watched the last 3 episodes.
Did you watch Captain America Winter Soldier?
I didn't, but I got the gist of how they're doing the crossover thing with the movie.
Okay.
And how is that?
That Hydra was trying to infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D. and basically, like, pretty much dismantled the whole thing. So even though Captain America, like, won, quote unquote, in the end, S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically, like, in ruins.
Yeah. And but Hydra, their secret's out that they were.
Yeah.
They were deep with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. And then the show itself, you know, a bunch of characters turn out to be Hydra agents and including blah, blah, blah.
Ward, right? Ward is a Hydra agent. Yeah, now, is he going to be a bad guy on the show now, or is he going to be like a triple agent where he's like, is Hydra working as a double agent for S.H.I.E.L.D., but then as a triple agent helping S.H.I.E.L.D. infiltrating Hydra?
Honestly, I don't see how that's possible since he, like, killed 3 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in cold blood.
Oh.
So... yeah, no, I get the big reveal was they're taking Bill Paxton, who turned out to be a Hydra agent.
No way, he's bad.
Yeah, he's bad.
What?
Bill Paxton's not a bad guy.
That's impossible.
He is on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's like, so Ward is accompanying the team that's gonna put Bill Paxton in prison, and then he just shoots them all.
Do the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents like Coulson and Sky and the 2 scientists?
They don't know yet.
They don't know yet? Okay.
No, the episode ends with Ward showing his maybe true colors, but then there's like a commercial break, and then, you know, like in the last like 10 seconds, there's like a little thing, and like the last 10 seconds is like Ward sitting there listening to Bill Paxton's character telling a story. And Bill Paxton's voice just kind of fades into the background. And it's just, the camera's just like tight focus on Ward's face. Just like keeps tracking in closer and closer. And like Bill Paxton's voice is fading. And it's like, you know, Ward is really thinking deeply about something. So I don't know, maybe they're trying to imply that maybe he's not bad, but, I mean, I don't know how you come back from killing 3 people in cold blood.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think that covers it.
I like it.
I like it, too. I like it enough that I'll never have to watch it. You've done such a great job of filling in my shield void that I don't have to bother. And I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
What about you, Justin? What you got going on?
Holy shit, man. He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Yay. Yay!
I love it. You love it. Prince Adam and his little panties. Ha!
Was not the love.
I know, right? It's both fun and festive.
Mm.
But our good buddy, Mr. Wadlow, the guy that brought you the Kick-Ass movies there, well, at least Kick-Ass 2, we had a nice interview with him at Comic-Con last year. Turns out he is now writing the screenplay for a Master of the Universe movie. There was one already written, but apparently it's not good enough, so they hired Mr. Wadlow to kind of redo it.
Woo!
I'm excited. You excited, Dave?
Absolutely. I enjoyed spending time with him, and I think he is up to the task, and I hope he gets to direct it as well. If he turns into a good enough script, maybe they'll let him do that.
Yeah, I should say so. And You know what? I think he's the right age for it, too, because he would have watched He-Man. You know, he was born in 1976. He knows what to do with Mr. He-Man there.
He knows what's what.
Yeah. That's right. And I mean, for all its flaws, Kick-Ass 2 obviously wasn't a very good movie, but you need the kind of director who makes a Kick-Ass 2 that's just not afraid to go that extra mile of absurdity, because let's face it, Master of the Universe is pretty absurd.
Right. And I think, I don't know, there's like two schools of thought. There's one where you can do it where it doesn't take itself too seriously, and then there's like the other way, like the Chris Nolan route with Batman, where it's like too serious. You know what I mean? Right. Like Dark Knight's that's a gritty movie, man.
It is.
And I don't know. I think He-Man might be pretty cool if it was kind of taking that really dark route.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it could be a really cool dark and gritty movie. I mean, Castle Grayskull is like the scariest looking place for you guys to hang out. Like that is the good guy base, and right. It's terrifying. And then you're like, well, what's the bad guy base look like? And it's like Snake Mountain. It's even worse. Like, there's some seriously dark locales, and I think where most people go wrong with He-Man as far as, you know, going like over the top and goofy is he has kind of a ridiculous gallery of villains, and they're easily taken over the top. But you could make them cool. Like, you could make Beast Man this just scary beast monster, and Evil Lynn this like sexy evil sorceress, and you could really make it like, I mean, to coin the phrase from Justin, you could really Nolanize the film, and just make it this badass movie.
Are you guys talking about Masters of the Universe?
Yeah,
those were some pretty ridiculous characters. But they made for some really cool action figures.
They did. They all had their own little like niche.
Roboto, Moss Man.
There was a guy, giant you could like spin a little wheel on his back and sparks would shoot out of his mouth.
That didn't seem safe.
No, it wasn't. They had all kinds of crazy crap like that in the 80s.
Was he that clear guy?
Yeah, he had like a clear chest and he had like spark in there and his mouth was open so they could shoot out.
I remember that guy. I had all of them. I probably had like 70 He-Man guys, dude. It was nuts. I even had like that crazy carrying case where it was like this skeleton dinosaur thing, and you put the characters in its rib cage. Do you guys remember that at all?
Oh yeah, it's the guy with the metal face that's like a fucking, it's like a metal elephant.
Oh, I know that guy. He even shot like water out of his nose. Nose hose? Was that his name?
Nose hose. That's a little on the nose.
I think that was his name, Nose Hose.
Oh my. Oh my.
You have to look that one up.
Let's see. He-Man Nose Hose.
I can only imagine if you did an image search, He-Man Nose Hose, what would you come up? Dude, I got
a lot of stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Snout Spout.
Oh, Snout Spout.
Well, it's very close.
But it says
alarmingly similar.
It does say AKA Nose Hose.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe that's what they nicknamed him in the animated series.
Remember when slime was like a thing with toys and there was like this pit and it had like this bony claw that would grab a guy, and then you put this green slime through like what looked kind of like some kind of bird skull, like maybe like a vulture skull of sorts, and then like the ooze would drip out of its nose and eyes and onto the character.
Whatever the skull was, I think it had teeth, because I remember it would come out around the teeth, and then the slime, like halfway down, would rejoin.
Yeah.
And just continue to just blob all over the figure. That was
it's like a saber-toothed cat of sorts or something.
Yeah, totally. Oh man, I'm having all sorts of flashbacks to that playset. I never had any He-Man toys, but like all the neighbor kids that I played with did, and they were the first to actually put out any toys that had slime. It was before Kenner's Ghostbusters. It was before any other big slimy toy thing happened. And the only way you could get it was packed in with that slime pit playset. And just the smell of it, like if I were to smell it today, I swear to God, it would take me back to being like this 7-year-old kid right. again.
It had that smell. I had that pit. And I had that little cup of, it was almost like in a Play-Doh cup.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, a little resealable cup. Man, now on a similar note, the Ghostbusters slime that they put out, they called Ectoplasm, and it was purple. And I used to play with it so much. Every little container of Ectoplasm that you got, there was like a ghost hidden inside. So you pick it up and you just ooze it out between your fingers, and there'd be like this little rubber ghost, which would always be discolored because it would take on the color of whatever the slime was. So it would be kind of tainted purple a little bit. But I remember playing with that stuff so much. It got to the point where it wasn't that slimy consistency. It started to kind of harden, and it had like all the hand oils and dirt and crap that kids would just kind of like have on their body anyway, just mixed in with it. And it became this, it just started to harden and thicken and kind of create this crust. It was so disgusting when it got dried out, when it got hard. Oh my God. Flashbacks. I need a drink.
There's a picture of that slime pit too, by the way. But we can move on.
Does that mean I have to stop looking at He-Man characters?
No, you keep doing that. That's fine.
No, I'm going to give you my attention.
You don't have to.
I do, because you said you loved me. Your love for Stephen K. Janes was fake.
It's all lies and deceit.
Everyone's going to tweet at Stephen K. Janes on Twitter to listen to the show.
Yes, because he doesn't listen to it. He's listened to one episode, and that was the one where we argued about time travel for 45 minutes.
that's a good one to listen to.
Yeah, but in real life, we've argued a similar argument for like the last 5 to 10 years, probably. Yeah. It's just it's a cyclical thing, kind of like Back to the Future 1 and 2. Keeps going around in circles.
But our opinions never change.
No, they do not.
We have somehow not swayed the other in the least.
We're like the Hatfields and the McCoys, and we're just at war for no real reason.
At this point, we couldn't change sides if we wanted to.
Right, it's just the way it goes. There was since it's been a while since I brought it up, but there was a Babylon 5 episode where these two races, or actually it was the same race, I think, and one wore like a purple armband and the other one wore a green one, and they hated each other just because of these two colors.
Oh God, they're just rehashing the original series episode.
Or the Dr. Seuss episode too.
Amanda? This is an original idea that was on.
It's the same thing.
You see, one was black with silver on the left side, and the other was black with silver on the right side.
It's the exact same thing.
It's green and purple.
Babylon 5 can go die in a fire.
You know, a lot of the cast members have.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's an art perk.
A lot of people die that were on that show. It's not right. It's a gross miscarriage of justice.
Did they die of shame?
They did not.
For being on such a terrible show.
Oh.
On the scripts that it say not Star Trek.
Maybe.
That was the pilot. And the pilot said Star Trek, and it was crossed off. And then underneath it was like something else.
What do you got going on, Dave?
Well, I had a couple quick little fun X-Men news. First up, I don't know if you guys have all gone to the website, geeklegacy.com, and checked out maybe not the first, but a minute of the opening battle for X-Men Days of Future Past. Have you guys checked that out?
Mm-hmm. Exciting stuff.
Amanda, Randy, you still with me?
Lots of fighting and stuff.
Did you fall asleep, Randy?
Nope, my mic was muted, so you didn't have to hear my squeaking chair.
Did you watch the video?
Not yet. I'm pulling it up right now.
It's pretty rad. And what I really liked about the video was, you know, they're in this time to where they're being hunted down, and now more than ever, they have to act like a team. And it was really awesome to see like how all of their powers kind of work together. Like you had like Blink opening the portal, and you had Iceman coming through and actually sliding on his ice slide, which, you know, sure is cheesy, but it was still pretty cool to watch. We got a quick little glimpse of what I'm assuming are the Sentinels in the future. And, you know, even though it was only a minute, a lot seemed to happen, and it made me even more excited for what this opening battle for the film is going to be. So I didn't know what you guys thought about it.
I liked how I immediately recognized every mutant. Including, like, Bishop. I was like, hey, there's Bishop.
Yeah.
It's a black guy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So you checked that out, right, Amanda?
Oh, no, I haven't. I don't like watching stuff before the movies come out.
It's a good thing you run a website. That's all they publish is shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Because then, like, yeah. I mean, I feel like it kind of ruins it.
Oh. Yeah, I can't unsee what I saw, Dave.
Ruined it for you, sorry.
I can't unsee this.
Amazing Spider-Man's telling that line. Like, they released the new, the last 24 hours, ever since the MTV Movie Awards, like, I think they, like, 10 major movies have released clips. And you can go to geeklegacy.com and see them all. There's a really rad one for Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man. There's a new clip for Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise, Groundhog Day meets Starship Troopers movie. There's a really cool clip from Hercules.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Dave, because in Hercules, in this 30-second clip, he kills a lion. He kills a three-headed dog that's presumably Cerberus. He flips a horse. He slays a hydra. And he fights a giant boar. This movie is him just killing animals.
He's like PETA's worst nightmare.
No, I don't like it. I don't like animals getting hurt. And The Rock just beats the shit out of every animal he sees.
The Rock is not going to win any Humanitarian of the Year awards. I'll give you that. I think it's going to be an interesting film because it takes place after Hercules 12 Labors, which is what Hercules is known for. But
what? He works 12 hours? What'd you say?
The 12 Labors of Hercules.
Like, what is that? Cool.
That's
it's a double?
It is. Hercules is tasked with 12 labors to prove that he deserves to be the son of Zeus and go from demigod to god. And so he's assigned these 12 labors by a king. One of them is to slay the Nemean lion, which is the lion whose head he ends up wearing. One is to defeat a hydra and all these other mystical animals that you see him kill. But what's interesting about the movie is the way Brett Ratner describes the film and the way that I can't remember the studio that's doing it. I'm sorry. They describe it as a revisionist take on the classic myth set in a grounded world where the supernatural does not exist. So this man is the son of a god, and he fights these mystical beasts, but it's grounded in reality where there is no supernatural activity. Now, did you get that impression from that trailer?
No, I thought there was magic because there's a hydra and there's a Cerberus and there's a giant boar.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
So I don't I don't know what Mr. Ratner's trying to pull here.
Your leg.
Hmm. What surprised
me. He doesn't know that you're 6'3" tall.
Just like step on him.
You're like Hercules. You could be Hercules.
I could not.
Sure you could.
I'm a little soft in the midsection.
No.
I don't think you're
Hercules after the 12 labor laws.
I just let myself go. I'll be hero to zero instead of zero to hero.
Yeah.
But that's all I need. All I really got. Definitely go to geeklegacy.com. There's been a ton, like I said, a ton of movie clips to watch, ton of new trailers and TV spots, and we're starting to head into the really busy summer movie months, and so we're just gonna start seeing a ton of stuff happening in the film world. So keep your peepers peeped to geeklegacy.com for all your movie news. So, Randy, you got a list?
I do have a list. I took a look at the ones that you sent me, and they weren't really speaking to me, but I found another fun one. It's the 10 worst comic book live action TV series of all time.
All right.
So, and you can imagine some of them were on the WB.
Small of them better not be on this list.
I don't know. I haven't made it all the way through the list, but I made it three quarters through, and already I liked this list better. So,
right.
So we're just gonna roll with it, and I'm gonna let the top three surprise me.
You were pissed that Gremlins 2 was on that list. Admit it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we talk a lot about movie sequels, and the deaths. A lot of them are from TV series that are, you know, old, like our parents watched, and we probably didn't really watch. So I didn't think it was all that engaging.
No
offense.
Old.
It was a cool list, but
you're older than me, Randy.
I know, cool. But only numerically. Only numerically.
I'm like, I remember all this. What's up, MASH?
Oh yeah, I like the theme song to MASH.
All right, so
throw that in there.
I'm gonna restart with the list here.
Yeah, suicide is painless. Is what it was. It's hot.
All right, what we have tonight is the 10 worst comic book live action TV series of all time. So I'm sure we've all watched several of these and maybe wished we hadn't. But number 10 on the list is our very good friend Patrick Warburton in The Tick. Did you guys ever watch that?
Yeah.
I did. Nope.
It was actually pretty decent. I watched it on Netflix earlier, or actually late last year. It was not terrible. It was fun.
Except this list says it's terrible.
Well, there's honestly not a whole lot of good comic books that have been turned into TV series, so I don't know. Number 9 might surprise you. The 1960s version of Batman.
Oh, I love that.
It's got a lot of camp value to it. And honestly, if that Batman wasn't around to kind of get people's attention, who knows if Batman still would have been that incredibly popular enough to have made a movie in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. That's actually going to be available to buy for like the first time ever.
Really?
Yeah. On Blu-ray and DVD. I'm all over.
That's exciting.
I told Lynn that it's on my list for birthday or Christmas, whichever comes first.
Hmm. I watched a fun little video on the 1960s Batman, and it basically said that DC was ready to cancel Batman. Like it just wasn't performing, and the 1960s Batman was popular enough to where it spurned the brand to where Batman was going to end without the 1960s Batman TV show. So don't give it too much grief, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
There you go.
It's cheesy and it's fun and it's worth taking a look at.
Heck yeah.
This one surprised me because I didn't know this one ever made it to TV. Did you know that there was a Blade TV series?
Mm-hmm. And it's sci-fi?
It, Spike TV, apparently.
Oh, same show.
Yeah. It did not do so good.
Hmm.
Yeah. Originally, they had planned to get Snipes to reprise his role as Blade in the series. But, and it was going to air on Showtime.
Oh.
But that did not happen. Number 7 on the list is Swamp Thing. Apparently, they were pretty desperate for superhero material in the early 80s after the success of Superman. So they started going after some kind of more bizarre ones. And DC's Swamp Thing was relatively popular on the big screen, so they adapted it to the small screen as well. Number 6. This one, it was interesting looking, but it just never took off. Birds of Prey on the WB back in 2002. You guys remember that?
Dave watched it.
I did, actually. All 8 episodes.
I mean, the costumes were pretty cool, and it was an interesting premise because it, I mean, it took place in Batman's Gotham City, but
starred all the uninteresting people in Gotham City.
Apparently, yeah.
Batman and Catwoman were in the first episode for like 2 minutes, and you're like, oh, maybe they'll come back. They never came back.
Nope.
Cut to the cripple.
Yeah. Oracle. Barbara Gordon.
All right, here's another fun one. Number 5 on the list, The Amazing Spider-Man from the late 1970s. It was a CBS series, and it just looks pretty terrible. Oh, just from the pictures I see here.
My oldest sister loved Spider-Man.
Like the live-action series?
Uh-huh.
Really?
She just went batshit crazy over that, from what I'm told. And then there was this time when she was a little girl, and they were at a mall, and there was a guy dressed up as Spider-Man, and she just, like, lost her shit.
Apparently, according to this article, every time Aunt May appeared on screen, she was portrayed by a different actress.
Nice.
Number 4 on the list, Flash Gordon. I didn't even know this was made for sci-fi back in 2007. I didn't even know that existed.
It's
only 22 episodes of it, but how was it?
It was not good. It's all
right. It must not be to be on this list, but I didn't even know that was an option.
It was all right. Like, they modernized it, so it took place in 2007, and like Flash was like this like recluse. Like, he wasn't like the captain of the football team type thing. He was like this like just, I don't remember what he played. He played some obscure sport, like not water polo or lacrosse, but something stupid. And it was not good.
Number 3. This one, I never watched it. I remember it being very, very popular when it was on. But I just couldn't get into it. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
I remember watching that.
Dean Cain as Superman. And apparently, I guess he didn't really wear the costume very much. I don't know. Or maybe he did.
He did. It looked pretty cheeseball.
It was cheesy, yeah. They're showing him in it with a big crazy S that just looks completely wrong on his chest. It looks like the bootleg made in Mexico Superman figures that I've seen with like this terrible hand-painted S on the chest. Mm-hmm. It just looks bad. It looks like a poorly made costume.
But like girls our age had a huge crush on Dean Cain because he looked pretty good as like Clark Kent and Superman. Though. Like I remember Amy had like kind of a crush on Dean Cain.
That's weird.
it's on the hub now. You call it on the hub.
Yeah. Why is that so weird? He's an attractive man.
I don't know. Well, okay. What I find weird is the fact that he went from being kind of a heartthrob at that point to being a step above B-list.
Is he a step above B-list?
Maybe not. But I mean, he is like one of those go-to B-list actors. I mean, he's on some sort of show where they're offering a freaking bounty to somebody that could find Bigfoot. And it's a reality show that they have on like every week. Like they're actually going to find something and they freaking have him on this show.
He's obviously made some very questionable choices in his career.
Like it's called like $10 million Bigfoot Hunt. And like at the end of every episode, like all the hunters like come together and every episode he's like, well, no one caught him today, so no one gets the bounty. And they all look so surprised, like they were supposed to catch him. It's terrible.
Oh, a bunch of dum-dums.
Thank you, The Soup.
Exactly.
I watched Lois and Clark for like the first two seasons.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
That was fine. I mean, I was, what, like 15?
Yeah, it's got Terry Hatcher in it. It can't be too bad.
I vaguely remember watching it on the regular, and I remember enjoying it, although I don't really remember anything about it.
Do you remember Dean Cain was hot?
I did think Dean Cain was an attractive man, but he was a little old for me at the time.
Because he could drive.
I think our buddy was the guy who's the editor at...
Barry White?
Yeah. Wasn't it the dude that's like the bad guy in Dick Dodge? Wasn't he the editor in that show?
Was he? Looking it up. Fact check. Lane Smith. Dick Dodge. There you go.
Yeah. So that's automatically makes it cool. And then, fucking, what's his name? Lex Luthor was like that Warren Beatty looking motherfucker. I forget his name.
Warren Beatty?
No, it's not Warren Beatty. He just reminds me of Warren Beatty. I forget his name though.
John Shea. He does have a Warren Beatty look to him. If I had to describe him, I would say Warren Beatty-esque too. Good on you, Justin. Good on you.
That was number what, 3?
That was number 3. Number 2 is a character that I have never heard of before. Nightman. from the 90s Malibu comics.
Oh, he was making shit up.
No, apparently it is a syndicated series. Nightman was a working jazz saxophonist that got hit by lightning and gained the ability to see evil, but with the price of never sleeping again.
Oh man, you have to go to this IMDb page and see the poster for the shit.
Looks kind of cool.
Thin in this. Looks like Darth Vader meets Val Kilmer's Batman.
There were some guest spots on the show by Little Richard and Donald Trump.
Oh, his name was Johnny Domino. Johnny Domino is Nightman.
That just sounds like when you're coming up with a name for superhero, there's so many cool things you can come up with, but Nightman is just like, it's just kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. It's not, I don't know. Let's just move on to number 1. Let's not give that show any more credit.
On for 2 years.
Yeah.
2 seasons. Well,
enough to get syndicated. This next one, number 1 on our list, was on for 3 full seasons. I didn't see a single episode of it, but maybe you guys did. Mutant X.
No, I didn't watch it.
Now, that started in 2000, and that was right on the heels of the gigantic popularity of the first X-Men movie.
Yeah.
So when they had the opportunity to kind of develop anything in the X-Men universe to TV, they jumped at the chance. And it lasted 3 seasons, so I guess it wasn't terrible.
John Shea was in that, too. 66 episodes.
Man, Glenn A. Larson was the guy who created Nightman. He's the guy who did Knight Rider and Fall Guy and Magnum P.I. and Battlestar Galactica.
So
and Nightman.
That's quite a resume there. This article here compares Mutant X to Mutant X is to the X-Men what GoBots is to Transformers.
That's awesome.
High praise. So,
yeah. So, all right, that's our list for this week.
I like it. I had GoBots, by the way.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
I was trying to buy some, and I couldn't.
In fact, I had a playset that was like made of cardboard. You remember those cardboard playsets that they had in the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of like on those little sprues and things. Yeah, it was nuts.
I still got a couple Star Wars cardboard playsets.
Fine list, Mr. Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Now who's ready to play an equally fine game?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. This game is for the little guys. You know, everyone knows captains. Everyone knows Kirk and Picard and Reynolds and Solo. This is for the little guys. This is for the co-pilots, the executive officers, the XOs, the first officers. This is how well do you know your number twos?
Hmm.
All right. Here's how it's going to work. I am going to give you the name of a ship, and you're going to tell me the name of the co-pilot, first officer, or XO. Shout it out as soon as you know it. First, at the end, whoever has the highest score wins. Sound easy?
Sounds fun.
All right. You guys ready to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as you know it, shout it out. Who was the co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon?
Chewbacca.
Ah, I heard Justin first.
Oh, I heard Randy first.
Did you?
Well, I said Chewbacca. and he said Chewbacca. Did you say Chewie?
I said Chewie.
Yeah, I said Chewbacca. So it took me longer to say it.
I'm going to give you both a point on that one. We were in no shape to putt. All right. First one down. Okay, next one. Who was the first officer of Serenity?
The chick.
Oh, Zoe.
Yeah, there you go. Zoe Washburn. I don't
get credit for that.
You still.
The chick.
Had there only been one chick, I would have given you, but there were three chicks on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to be fair here. All right. Now, who was the first officer of the Enterprise NX class?
Riker?
No.
NX. Which one is the NX class?
NX.
I don't know what that means.
From the show Enterprise.
Trip?
It was not Trip.
Damn it. That's the only other person that I remember.
I didn't watch it.
T'Pol?
T'Pol is right.
Yes!
I'm going to give that to you, Amanda. All right.
I didn't realize that she was... she was the first officer, but she was like only the next logical person.
Yeah, Trip was the chief engineer.
That's okay. I thought the British guy was the engineer. No, he was the security officer.
Here's one of my ones I'm not sure if anyone's going to get. Who was the first officer of the NSEA Protector?
I know what it's from, I just don't know who.
It's from Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
There was an XO on that?
There was.
Grab Lars Hammer. Yeah.
It was that guy. You know those characters' name?
No.
Alexander Dane. I feel stupid.
That's a tough one.
It was.
That was a good one, though.
Busted forever.
All right. Who was the co-pilot in Pete Mitchell's plane?
Goose.
All right. Good job, Justin.
Goose. I didn't even know what his name was. Pete Mitchell.
Who was the co-pilot of the Gunstar from Last Starfighter?
The lizard guy that goes.
But what was his name?
Nobody knows.
Oh, I thought you'd get that for sure, Justin. Grig. All right, here we go. Who was the first officer of the USS Stargazer?
Oh, Picard.
There you go. Good job, Randy.
Oh, damn it.
Yes.
What are these ships?
Randy knew it. Who was the co-pilot of Luke Skywalker's X-Wing?
R2-D2.
Good job, Justin.
Good question, getting the quick ones.
All right. Who was the co-pilot of the Battlestar Galactica?
Carl Tighe.
There you go, Amanda.
Fucking hate that guy.
Well, technically, he's not the co-pilot. He's the XO.
I'm sorry. That's, you know what?
Flesh-colored mustache.
All right.
Eye patch.
Hate that guy.
Amanda has three. Justin has three. Randy has two. One question left. I'm not going to lie. It's an easy one. It's going to be for speed. Who was the first officer of the USS Enterprise A?
Spock.
All right. Good job, Amanda.
Oh, that's a good one.
Amanda winning it with a Trek question.
Amanda wins it with the Star Trek question.
Yay!
Good job, Amanda. Amanda always wins my games.
No love for Chakotay or whatever the hell his name was.
Aw, no. Chakotay.
No love for that series, period.
I almost put it on there just because I have three Enterprises on here.
That's the only one I would have got. I wouldn't have been fast enough with Riker.
Actually, I have two. I didn't put Riker on.
I had Riker in the barrel for every single question. I was ready to go.
You were ready for that one.
That's funny because I had Goose in the barrel ready to go. I was like, Dave's got to do Top Gun.
For some reason, I was only thinking sci-fi. I wasn't thinking anything set in a real world.
Yeah, me neither.
Just like me last week with Crick. I had Colonel Pike
ready to go.
Nice.
Like when you mentioned XOs in the beginning, I was like, okay, he's gonna use Battlestar Galactica. I know it.
I'm all like, well, he's not a first officer. Damn it. Well, XO it is.
He could have done one from that other ship from Battlestar Galactica.
The Pegasus.
Pegasus. That show with like 18 XOs and like five.
Nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody knows who any of those people are. I don't even remember what the captain's name was.
I hate her. Michelle Forbes is her name.
I think Adama was XO at some point. I think everybody was.
Yeah. Man, remember when Dee shot herself in the head when they got to Earth and it wasn't what they were expecting?
I'm like, whoa.
Holy shit, that caught me off guard. The first like four episodes of the last season were incredible, and then it just kind of went downhill.
Right, yeah, they're all pretty intense. It's like
with the mutiny? Oh my god, I just remember going crazy. It's like, I can't take it!
Finally got here, and it sucks.
Oh,
I had to stop watching it until it was ending, because it was so depressing.
It was. People on the show were killing themselves.
Yeah. Depressing. I think I stopped watching when Callie got blown out the airlock, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, yeah, by the Indian Cylon?
Yeah.
That was sad.
That was brutal. She's like kissing the baby and would say goodbye, say bye-bye, and then sucked out the airlock. That was awesome.
Ugh.
Oh man! And then that one chick, Cat, that got fried by the sun or whatever.
Yeah.
I hated her character so much.
I knew I was doomed when Buckbeak came back from the dead. wherever she was, I'm like, oh man, we're screwed. I'm like, well, I only have half season left. I guess I can handle it.
Well, they wasted that whole season on fucking trial with Baltar. Remember that?
Where Lee defended him?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then he became, like, a religious, like, leader? Like, yeah, cult leader?
That was terrible. And all these Black Market episodes? I didn't like that show for a while.
Well, yeah, they had all those filler episodes. Like, or, like, the one where they had, like, a union strike?
Yeah.
Like, we're stranded in the middle of nowhere. And if you guys don't work, you know, we're dead.
We're all gonna die.
I'm not making you work all these extra hours because I'm a dick. I just don't want us all to die.
I always thought it was funny when they'd kind of like reuse the same footage of when Cylons showed up and like a million of their ships came out, and then the Galactica just fired 8 billion rounds at them, and then all these Raptors would take off and all these Vipers would take off. Or when they would land, they'd show like the same three Vipers landing in the hangar.
Or whatever, it'd be like one-on-one with a Cylon and a Viper. It was always the same shot.
Yeah. That's funny.
So I guess that's how you save money.
I guess so.
I mean, it had really high production value for being a TV show, so they had to save money somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like that miniseries, the first before.
Awesome. Yeah.
So rad. Like when Six kills the baby, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, I know. Breaks
this shit's for real.
Ugh. And then like that shot of that one girl with a doll, or like the teddy bear or whatever, and their ship doesn't have one of those
FTLs.
Yeah, so then they just get blown up.
And like the president's assistant like tells her, so you know that little girl you were talking to all day, she's on a ship that doesn't have an FTL.
Right.
Thanks for telling me that, dick.
And she was dying from cancer for like ever, and then she got better.
It got better.
And then it ends with her dying again. You're like, God damn it.
Did she die?
Yeah.
She didn't die at the end.
Well, at the end, she was like on the mountainside with Adama and like dying.
Yeah. They got to go peacefully.
Yeah.
And they kind of had a thing for a while, right?
Yeah. Old people sex is gross.
Yep.
Even in the future.
Specifically those people. Yep.
They are not attractive people.
He's like taking his glasses on and off the whole time. It's brutal.
And like, it's kids. Shit.
How did they not run out of alcohol on that ship? The guy was boozing it up every 5 minutes. It's not like they could get
moonshine.
Someone made a still. Yeah, yep. They had a still somewhere.
What about the cigars? Never ran out of cigars either.
Yeah. Not, I never noticed that.
They must have been wasting space on tobacco. Like, oh, yeah. Tomatoes or tobacco? Tomatoes, tobacco.
They gotta save those ships.
Yeah.
They gotta make sure those ones make it.
And those ones have like 24-hour Raptor patrols all over the place. They'll let them in.
Oh my god, that show is so crazy.
And then everyone's a Cylon.
I really liked the episode when Galactica came to save the colony that they kind of made, like at the end of like the second season or third season.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they like disappear. Yeah, they jumped away when the Cylons arrived, and then they came back.
Yeah, and they were in the atmosphere, and they dropped down. They almost hit the surface, and then they jumped again. They just kept dropping more troops and stuff, and more ships, and then taking off. Oh my god, I thought that was so cool.
Was that the episode where they sacrificed the Pegasus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bitching.
Keep that ship and sacrifice the old beat up Galactica ship.
Yeah.
Right.
Apollo's all fat.
Yeah.
He was eating donuts and just hanging out. Oh, man.
And they neglected that D-Brad.
Yeah, she was cute. She had pretty eyes. I liked her.
Yeah, me too.
She was too good for him.
Mm-hmm. And then she killed herself. So you guys got anything to add? Anything else in your proverbial insert metaphor here?
No.
I do.
Hit me with it.
Okay, couple things.
Sweet. Like a couple things.
I wanted to ask you, I forgot to do this earlier. I wanted to bring a new segment onto the show where we call it Ask a Jedi. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but, you know, every 10 years you got to fill out a census. There's a question to ask you, what's your religion? And Mr. Edmondson over here likes to say that he's a Jedi for his religion. I have a few questions, and I expect honest answers.
Ooh, I like that. I wear my geek flag high and proud.
Okay, now...
And in a bandana shape sometimes.
there's going to be a lot of rumors and rumblings going on with Episode 7, and I thought it would be fun to educate our listeners with a little bit of Star Wars trivia every now and again.
I like Star Wars trivia. I like to ramble about Star Wars.
I know you do. And I guess my first question would be, in regards to lightsaber colors, I've seen several different colors on the screen. There's been, you know, the blue ones, the green ones, the red ones. In video games, there's like yellow ones. And oh, there's even a purple one. Mace Windu has a purple one. And I guess I'm just wondering, do these colors mean anything special?
Not really. I mean, I wish there was a cool answer, but basically it all comes from the crystal you put within your lightsaber. You know, most Jedi steer clear of red just because it's so historically linked to the Sith, but it wouldn't be any trouble. And most of the crystals are synthesized now. There used to be caverns that would have these crystals that people could farm and take advantage of, but just for ease and mass production state for the lightsabers for the Jedi, most crystals are actually like synthetic and like actually made. There was a scene actually cut from Return of the Jedi where Luke is actually constructing his lightsaber, and he actually creates his crystal in Obi-Wan's hovel. And the color is just based on whatever color your crystal is. And I think Mace Windu having the only purple one, I think it's out of respect. No one wants to have the purple lightsaber with Mace Windu.
So if I were a Jedi and I showed up to work with a red lightsaber, would I get sent home for not fitting like dress code kind of thing? Or would they just say, hey, you know, that's bad. Red's bad. It's a commie pinko lightsaber.
You'd be put on the Jedi equivalent of a government watch list.
Oh, that's just Jenkins over there.
Yeah.
They would think you're trying to be funny with me, boy.
Now, in previous video game iterations of lightsaber creation, or like when you got, it's kind of like a rite of passage thing when you get to a certain point in your Jedi training and you get your lightsaber. Now, there was a significance to colors. Like the blue color was you were a guardian.
Right. There's guardians and counselors.
Yeah. And greens were the counselors and blue were the guardians. And it was really just blue and green.
And yellow was like a sentinel or something, I think, in the games.
Something like that. I don't remember which games those were.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Was it Knights of the Old Republic? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fluid thing. Like, Some games make references to it. The Star Wars role-playing game, you know, they made a big thing out of it with the multicolored lightsabers being linked to how you handled the Force. But when it all came down to it, in you know, most of the literature, most of the books and stuff like that, red and blue just seemed to be the cooler colors that people used, and it didn't necessarily correspond with. So if you notice, Luke uses both colors, and you know, some people go back and forth, and it doesn't really correlate in that regard.
Gotcha. I like the green. I'm partial to the green.
It's iconic. I like the green. I like the blue too. Just I really like the iconic colors. Like Princess Leia's lightsaber is yellow. But other than that, most people really stick to the green and blues and reds if you're bad.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, just remember to tune into a couple of shows that they're not on our Geek Legacy Network, but they're really fun podcasts. One is called The Flash Podcast, and the other is called The Broken Controllers Podcast, hosted by two very fun guys, so check them out.
Well, why aren't they on our network?
I don't know.
Who? Get them in our network. That's your only job.
That's my job.
Get them in there. I don't care what they want. Whatever they want, they can have.
They're making their own internet monies. I just met them online. They're very nice people. Eventually, they'll both be on our podcast. Just hang out, talk about stuff. You'll get some Flash knowledge. That Flash podcast is actually kind of based on the new Flash show that's going to be on the CW. And this guy knows everything about the Flash. And we'll actually put him in the hot seat when he comes on our show.
Sweet.
Test his abilities.
Talk to him about Captain Cold and the Reverse Flash.
Right. So, yeah, that's it. Flash cool. Podcast, Broken Controllers. Check them out.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you listen to all the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. Got the Pixelated Podcast with our very own Justin and Stephen K. James. You know, the guy you tweeted a couple times during the show. Go ahead and tweet him again. Just let him know we plugged this Pixelated Podcast and that David listens every week, so he should listen to my podcast. We also have the Comic Corner podcast with Jeff and Tyler, who are good Geek Legacy contributors because they listen every week. I know they do. They're the best. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @Geek Legacy, and geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews.